Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Hello and welcome to the QPR Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow, and Gav Lawson and Gareth Dixon of the Ranger Things podcast. Gents, have either of you been offered the QPR job yet?
Not yet.
No, but it's early, you know.
Still just waiting. No, exactly. Phone by the bed, just in case. You'd have thought it'll happen quite soon.
Well, if Birch gets it, I might get assistant manager, so you never know.
Do you think he's someone who might get it?
He's in line, apparently.
Really?
Sky Sports, yeah.
He's one of the 48 names that's been chucked 48? About. Yeah.
He's one of the agents.
Anyone
getting pushed
out of contract is up for the role.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. We were looking at the runners and riders earlier, and it's just the pedigree of them. It's just like, is this where we're aiming at now? Who did we get earlier? Steve Cottrell.
I heard you discuss it because I wasn't here last week because it was my birthday. So thanks for singing happy birthday to me. But I sat there and listened to them. Essentially. Talking about how we must have a plan if we're going to get rid of McLaren. We must have a plan, something lined up. And it's becoming painfully more obvious that there was no plan at all apart from to get rid of a manager that all the players actually seemed to like, even if he wasn't doing well.
Is there one encouraging aspect to the fact that there clearly isn't a plan? In that one thing that we were discussing last week and that Julian was particularly passionate about was that if the plan was to bring in Tim Sherwood straight away in what Julian saw as a kind of jobs for mate scenario with Les Ferdinand, he was holding no punches. It was full, I will tear up my season ticket,
right.
job done.
Right.
So, won't be the only one either.
No, there'll be three.
There at least three just in this room. And with that,
you got a season ticket, Johnny.
Oh. I'm working on it. I'm on the waiting list, Gab.
You tear up your Arsenal season ticket. If
I could afford one of them, I'd be a very happy man. But you haven't at least got Sherwood. And
yet.
Is that... Okay, yeah. But if I'd offered you this time last week, you can have Sherwood on Wednesday or no one by the next show.
Or
Les Dennis. Yeah. You'd have said no one, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I'd have had Bertram. No, I would have had no one, absolutely. And I don't know if they kept an eye on the social media and saw the response of the backlash of Sherwood's name being put out there. But you know,
probably not.
That's what Fernandez would have done. So maybe Amit's taken a little, you know, taken a leaf out of his book and had a look, because it wasn't a positive response to Sherwood.
But now I mean, you're talking about names like Tony Fernandez and Amit Batty, and now we're getting to the crux of the problem. Mm-hmm. The situation that's going on at Rangers now is not to do with the man in the dugout; it's the men off the pitch, and there is so many men off the pitch. It's so convoluted, there's no strategy.
Do you think it just needs streamlining? You go, right, we're going to have this guy at the top, 100%. We might have one in between in the form of a director of football, and we'll have a manager and just make it simpler.
You have one owner, you have one chief exec, and you have one manager. And if it goes wrong, they're accountable. At the moment, you've got four owners of different shareholdings that people don't really understand sometimes, because it's easy to point at pantomime villains like Tony Fernandez, but actually he's probably got about a 25% share in the club. And now Amit Bhatia, who's overseen a season of success under Warnock when we won the league as chairman, but actually their shareholding is 3%. So it's just such a weird thing that's going on. Nobody knows what's actually going on in terms of who's running it. And then you've got Lee Hughes, who's a phenomenal CEO at what our level is and what he does. Then you've got Les Ferdinand, then you've got Chris Rand. How can you ever get to like a one team, one dream perspective? What are we actually pitching for? Youngsters, experienced pros, promotion, relegate? Where are we going? Nobody knows. And that's the problem.
It is, and it's been like that for a long time, hasn't it? And there's just confusion the whole way through the ranks, you know? And if you do have a manager and you put him in, he doesn't know really who to answer to. He doesn't know what's going on. So, you know, without that, that's kind of stability. And that hierarchy is, as Gaz said, what you're supposed to do.
And it doesn't matter then who you give the job to. If it's Ainsworth, a QPR legend, you're going to destroy him in a couple of months, because they're going to say to him one minute, play the kids, next minute you can sign a couple of pros if you need it. It doesn't matter if it's a foreign manager like the Rural Media from Troyes, who's just like a random left field thing thrown out there. There's no strategy to it. There's no idea, no understanding. And that's the problem. Until we get that unity of where we're going, it doesn't matter who's in the dugout. We can talk about it all day long. Loved, hated, Tim Sherwood, Harry Redknapp, whoever, Jerry Francis, doesn't matter.
So perhaps we were slightly over-optimistic last week where we said there must be a plan in place. But were you guys expecting there to be a new man in the dugout by the time we took to our microphones again this week?
I had no idea because I was still shocked from the sacking. Because, again, you know, when McLaren... when he got sacked, I thought they would have at least given him to the end of the season. But what they seem to have done is got rid of him, assuming that he was the problem and he'd lost the dressing room and that everyone was going to raise their game. But if they raise their game against Norwich, then, you know, then there's a serious, serious issue. They're not going to raise their game for, you know, Eustace or, you know, but essentially they wanted to play. I think they wanted to play for McLaren. They all liked him, you know. They all came out and said what a great coach he was.
Exactly, like the senior pros like Jeff Cameron, Angus Rangel, Naki Wells, they've all come out in praise of McLaren and what he'd done for them as a coach, as a person, as bringing them into the club. It's just random, you know. You got John Eustace now in charge, and then you got Paul Hall sitting on the bench from the academy. Like, where does that come from? Why is Paul Hall sitting there? I know I like Paul Hall as an individual. I like him as a coach and what he's done at QPR for the academy. But now, why is he sitting on the first team bench? You got, you know, I think after all this time, Les is a director of football. He's always said he wanted to coach or get involved. Why is he not there? Why is he
you
not?
You think he should just go, right, I'm going to put my own neck on the line.
Why not? I think he's preserving his status as a QPR legend by staying away from it all. But actually, he's paid a wage, a very good wage.
Do you think it's cowardly?
I think it's avoidance of being actually held accountable for what he's at the club for, rather than cowardly. I mean, Les is a legend at QPR for what he did on the pitch.
Right, in the manager.
That's what I'm saying.
Les.
Like, huh?
No, Les.
Why not? He wants to get in coaching. He's got his badges. What's his credentials as director of football? Hasn't worked out after 4 years. Yes, some good signings. Yes, some young players brought in that might not have been brought in because of Les and Chris Ramsey and the rest of the Tottenham coaching staff in the academy. But we're in crisis. We've got 6 games left. Les, if you're a legend, if you're going to put your money where your mouth is, get on that sideline. Get out of the suit. Get in the tracksuit and get us 3 points tomorrow night.
The thing that I don't really understand is McLaren doesn't seem like he'd lost the dressing room, right? It doesn't seem like... So I can't really put my finger on how it's gone so badly, how it just, you know, before McLaren left, we didn't look like we were going to win a game and we were hemorrhaging 3 goals. Because, like, you know, it's the same team. It's essentially the same team that was really competing away at Villa and that was beating... All right, we've beaten Leeds in the last 15 matches. Other than that, we've not been at the races at pretty much any of them. I mean, Watford, we looked like we could have got a result. We didn't. We still lost. But, you know, it's essentially the same team. And if the squad still want to play for him, all I can put it down to is a lack of confidence, which arguably the manager should be installing in them. But, you know, it's just gone so wrong.
And a lot of out-of-contract players.
And
who's responsible for that as well? How can you let a back four be out of contract and in season? You've got to look at that and go, actually, we've got a plan for the future. They're either good enough or not good enough, and they're all out of contract. Back four against who did we lose to at home? Where did we watch?
Which time we've lost to everyone?
The game before last.
Bolton.
The whole back four is out of contract at the end of the season. They're really going to roll it this season. They're really going to kiss the badge, aren't they?
Could see Les playing centre-back. Maybe that'll be his job.
If you're out of contract and you're playing because you want to be given another contract, that's one thing, but it doesn't look like any of them particularly do want to be given another contract.
Troubling stuff.
At QPR.
Getting it wrong on the pitch, getting it wrong off the pitch. The latest disappointment was, of course, the last time out, a 4-0 defeat to Norwich City, and in just a moment we'll be asking former QPR midfielder and former Brentford and Barnet boss Martin Allen where they all went wrong.
This is Love Sport.
You are listening to the QPR Fan Show with Gav Lawson and Gareth Dixon of Ranger Things and me, Johnny Burrow. We hopefully will be speaking to Martin Allen in just a moment. We haven't been able to get through to him yet. I suspect he is transfixed by the Champions League action, gents. We've got Liverpool 2-0 up at home against Porto and City still tied 0-0 with Spurs. Sergio Aguero missing a penalty there. I do want to talk Norwich in just a moment, but you two looking up at the hallowed heights of the Champions League, how do you see these going? How would you like them to go?
Personally, I'm only interested in the 4 or 5 teams that are still below us. I don't look above.
It's just depressing. How do we see it going? I will support all of the English clubs in Europe, and hopefully.
So when it's City versus Spurs, how are you Spurs. Playing your cards?
I admire City for what they do. I watched them earlier, and the attacking as they are, they had 9 minutes. It's a very Spanish team, and you've got to respect Guardiola for what he's done over the years, how he got in there, and how he got Messi defending from the front of Barcelona, how he went to New York and had a sabbatical. But I'd probably have to go for the London club, to be fair, in Tottenham. Yeah.
And they'd still act, even if they spent a gazillion quid this season, they're still. You know, pales into insignificance compared with what City have spent, really.
Yeah, and we talked about...
They're an underdog, so I'll always go for the underdog.
Who the City are?
No, Spurs, come on. Yeah. Always go for the underdog.
With their low budget and new stadium. But we talked about new stadium. Why were they 3,000 under at their first home game? Has anyone unpicked that yet?
There were various suggestions about this.
Tax dodge.
Something not a tax dodge. Yeah. It was something that we discussed in quite a lot of length.
Plastic
on the
fans.
Spurs fan show. Well, I think there's more of that going on. Spurs fan show every Thursday night, 7 till 9. I get last word on Spurs in here.
Do they plug our show?
They do. When QPR come up, I'll plug all the shows.
No, do they?
Do they?
Okay, right.
I'll have a word. They might try and nick Les off you if he does a good job on
Bring
the touchline.
Bring him back.
I think their suggestion was that people were just busy. It was a midweek game, and you'd have thought you would have benched everything for the opening of the new stadium. But if we take, and your head is shaking, Gab, but if we take my colleagues from Last Word on Spurs as an example, two of the three most consistent features on that show, if you like, actually didn't go. So one of them was on holiday in Jamaica, and I think if I offered you new stadium opening or Jamaica, you
new
might
stadium.
Really?
Yeah. Gotcha.
I've been to Jamaica.
Come on, there's only like 12 really hardcore fans at Rangers. Anyway.
Exactly. We'd be in the north. No, I hear you. One of my good friends, he's played football with him on a Monday night, and it was his daughter's third birthday. And she had
a very lonely birthday.
She had a terrible accident. She lost her front tooth, like from root to whatever, and it was out. And she and he went to Tottenham. And the partner was a little bit tipsy and said, "Well, hang on, you went to Tottenham." Wasn't happy.
Good fan,
but that's what I think QPR would do that. I don't know whether that's just a QPR kindred type thing, but I feel there's not many things that would keep me away. And Martin Allen, if we do get to talk to him, we can talk to him about the time that Trevor Francis and him had a little bit of a disagreement when Martin Allen was trying to be at the birth of his child, and Trevor Francis wasn't happy about that.
You've got to be at the birth of your child, haven't you? I mean, you child losing a tooth is one thing, but birth.
Yeah, but they have doctors at the football, don't they? I mean, you know.
Yeah, but you couldn't put her left back. And,
to be fair, there's probably quite a lot of dentists.
Get over there, Doc. She's not mobile anymore.
Turning our attentions back to the Championship. You're mentioning the teams below you. One of those is in action right now. Bolton Wanderers hosting Middlesbrough. They are 2 goals down, so that's some good news for QPR. Yeah. And some good news for Charlton as well, who are away at Wycombe Wanderers in League One. They are 1-0 up. But let's turn our attentions to Norwich City and QPR at the weekend. A 4-0 defeat, which I think was roughly what we were all predicting. Timo Pukki in typical style scoring goals. Was it worse than what you expected?
Yeah, mate. If you look at my predictions, I predicted 4-1. And when they went down to 10 men, I thought, hey, man, I could at least get like top of the table the predictions here, because I thought we might scrounge one against... but we actually let in a goal against 10
against
men.
Against 10 men.
Gaz was checking me out. I'd had 4 hours sleep and it turned out not to be enough. Got up for that game. It was depressing. And after 10 minutes, 12 minutes, we were a couple down.
Yeah.
But we could have been 4 down by then. And it was...
I've been to Carrow Road when we've been 3-1 down against Craig Bellamy's Norwich back in the day, and he got a hat-trick, and what an odious person to get a hat-trick against you in a couple of minutes. But it was depressing. We weren't good enough. We made them look so good. Everyone, like the commentators were waxing lyrically a little bit, but at halftime I said, actually, they're not that good. QPR are actually that bad. Why did we not put a tackle on somebody? You know, why did you not go and put something on somebody? We didn't look at the races. I wasted £9 because I had to watch it on the Now TV thing to buy on the day.
Yeah.
And then I was driving to my sister's, and then my 10-year-old son's showing it to me on the phone while I'm driving down the M25, whilst we're stationary, of course. And it was just depressing from the first kick to the last. And Pukki's goal was...
Pukki's two goals. Garfield's teddy bear scored twice. Looking at it on paper, we had a relatively decent side out for us. I mean, you know, it looked like, apart from the fact they put Leicester on the bench, which confused me, because I think against Norwich, We were never gonna win. I thought, you know, maybe 4-1. But I thought what we should have done is put on three centre backs, really played defensively and tried to go for the 1-0 defeat. So it's not just going to completely destroy your confidence.
Was Bidwell injured or embarrassed when he got taken off?
I don't know. But it was both.
It's a tight margin.
Meissner's on the bench. We're playing Furlong at centre back, who arguably could be a decent centre back. But he's still a right back, essentially. So we're playing him out of position.
No Bright.
No Osse Samuel. But like, I think we should have gone really defensive for that game.
You know, maybe you keep it tight, and
just
we just didn't.
Try and keep it. Not hemorrhage four goals, because it's not going to do your confidence any good at all.
Luongo was ill.
Your favorite player. Well, Cousins was in. Okay.
Cousins was ill as well, wasn't he?
No, he was in.
No, he was ill.
He was. Well, I don't know.
He looked ill.
Yeah. He looked sick. But yeah, I mean, it looked like a relatively decent side, and we weren't anywhere near. I think we had two shots, and it was embarrassing.
You go there a little bit of like, you've changed the manager, the boys might put a bit of fight up, they might go for it, but Norwich could score at ease at first half, and Joe Lumley
could
second
eight,
goal
yeah.
that was ridiculous, and then Luke Freeman third goal, giving the ball away on the edge of the box. It's just like, really, is that what's going on? Like, who's getting to them?
Shocking. And Eze's become he's been a massive scapegoat for that. All over Twitter, they're all cussing him because they have to cuss someone. But, you know, there's plenty to cuss. And, yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, Freeman had a shocker, but none of them played well. I think, you know, Rangel was back in the side. He was obviously trying. A few of them were trying, but it was so non-committal, really.
Yeah, and it's this out-of-contract conundrum we've got, and you know, I don't think anyone typifies that more than Joel Lynch. Just watching him trying to perform as a professional footballer at the moment, without any like willingness and like wanting to be there, and like, it's just like, what are they trying
body
to do?
You can tell, yeah.
Do you
body
feel
language.
Sorry for those players, Joel, or do you think they should just pull their socks up and get on with it?
Still being paid, and then it's pride. It's a matter of pride.
Why would you like? I don't feel sorry for them at all.
Is it not a difficult situation for them as well to be there thinking, the club aren't keeping me? I personally would find it quite hard to motivate myself in that scenario.
Well, no, surely you then want to at least hold your head up high. There are certain players who will always put in a shift, even if they're not playing well. I mean, you know, Pav, for instance.
But they're not like 30, apart from Rangel, who could actually get another contract at QPR just because he's a decent professional. He's a player for the younger players to learn from. But the
manager's job.
Yeah, well, you never know. The Spanish do know what they're doing sometimes. Joel Lynch, Grant Hall, Bidwell. Then Bidwell is like 26. He's got to go on and get another contract. Joel Lynch should really go on and get another contract. Like, these players, they are playing for something.
Yeah.
Whether it's a QPR or not, like
playing
for their careers on a Saturday. Like, there's people looking at that, football people looking at that QPR Norwich game thinking, next season, are going to give them a contract. No chance.
Right.
Would you?
And in the few games we've got left, we've just lost at home to Rotherham and to Bolton. I don't know where any points are going to come from. Not even like a draw. It's looking at it, if we can't get a draw against either of those two and we're getting turned over so badly, I think you've got to drastically switch it up. I think Manning should be in the side because he's always going to give you everything.
You need
Manning. And looking at the kids that we let go, I think it's looking to be, you know, that.
And whose decision was that? That's what you got to drill down on.
That is a question, because now you're like, no one feels like they're going to get dropped. Even, you know, even being dropped, embarrassing. There's no one else to bring in ahead of them. So I'd put Manning in, and I'd put Bright in, because again, Bright came on and he was the only one that looked like he was going to do anything.
Do you think there's a threat of relegation now?
Yeah.
Well, of course there is.
There is absolutely a threat. We're what, 5 points above?
It couldn't have been worse on Saturday. Rotherham winning, Millwall winning, us losing the way we did. And it's, as Gav says, it's where the next point's coming from. Millwall tomorrow night. QPR with a backbone going down to the Den.
Swansea,
no chance.
Swansea and Blackburn at home. They're the only two places.
Yeah, they're the only place you can look at. Forest maybe.
Possibly a point.
But all we need is three more points. But it's like, so every game's a cup final. But who's setting them up for that cup final? John Eustace doesn't inspire me to think, get behind the team. There's not one individual on that pitch that I could say, you're a Clint Hill, you're a Sean Derry, you're an Alan McDonald, I'm going to buy into what you're doing because you're going to run through brick walls for this football club. There's not one person that will do that for QPR at the moment.
Arguably, Rangel will do that, and he's out of contract and he's only been there a season.
Arguably.
Just because out of pride.
But potentially professional pride, but he is quite a nice guy. I know he's not the sort of character to, like, you know, he's not going to get you going, really, is he? He's going to be annoyed at, like, certain mistakes and individual things, but...
Kidnap his wife or something, I don't know.
Well, let's go...
I wouldn't advocate.
Yeah, kidnapping is not available, children.
Definitely not. Frowned upon.
But you do need those leaders.
Yes.
And we haven't had them on the pitch since Birch, Derry, Clint Hill, McDonald.
Well, Barton, I'd say, even though I didn't particularly like him.
But there's also the question of a leader off the pitch, right? You are currently without a manager. It might be the case that you need to bring in one of those figures as the manager and get the leadership in
Bertram's
that way.
Bertram's linked now. Bertram's linked on Sky, you know, to earlier today.
There are various links coming in, and coming up in just a moment, we'll be talking about who should be the new boss.
This is Love Sport.
The question remains, who should QPR bring in as their new boss? The favourites in the press this morning, certainly if the Daily Telegraph are to be believed, were Michael Appleton and Tim Sherwood. You guys are both on record being not particularly keen on one of those options in the form of Sherwood, but is Appleton a name that inspires any confidence at all?
Well, anything you read in the Tory graph is not inspiring anyway, personally. But
I think it's the style of football that Appleton implemented at Oxford that is appealing in a way. And he's 43. He's kind of like 15 years younger than McLaren. Is he the coach that's going to get our young players to fulfil their potential? Possibly. He comes without a tarnished reputation in some respects. But I strongly maintain that it does not matter who you get in there. It's the off-the-field structure that is the issue. So it's a little bit arbitrary to be talking about names in some respects because, yes, someone's going to have to take the job. If Eustace gets 3 points tomorrow night, you know, and a man walks on Mars at the same time, I'd stick with Eustace at the end of the season because it doesn't matter. We're safe if
we
get 3 points.
And if
we're
looking at anyone with a real track record, then they're going to look at what we do to managers that already have a track record and they're going to be put off, aren't they?
Also that financial situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? It's not an appealing prospect to come in and lose half your squad and not have any money to rebuild.
I see it as an opportunity. Like, I'm not in the business. I'm not a football manager. I'm not anywhere near the game in that respect. But I think that getting that amount of wages off your bill, like Grant Hall, Joel Lynch, Bidwell, they're not on peanuts at the end of the day. And if you get a manager in, and this is the only thing I would advocate for, is a manager that knows League One and knows League Two and could go and get some players that are not just your run through your wall types I was talking about earlier, technically are good enough, but want to prove themselves in the Championship. I think of the likes of Aidan Flint at Bristol City when he was there. Players that come into that level and they're like, I've got something to prove and I'm happy to do it at this football club because I buy into what they're doing. At the moment, I would struggle if I was a player coming into that.
Yeah.
And but the likes of Kenny Jackett or Gareth Ainsworth, I don't think Jackett will come in because his Gallen allegiances with Joe as assistant. And I think Ainsworth, you know, he's got a job to do at Wickham first. They're going to come in with League One, League Two knowledge, which is crucial for our transfer targets.
Yeah, for sure. And also, I think it goes to show how well Holloway actually did last year again, because he was all about trimming. I mean, you know, his tactics were shocking at times, but, you know, to actually get that lot whilst trimming the wage bill and bring some young players through, which, you know, McLaren, we did look decent earlier, but, you know, I think those four players that we brought in made a difference. Before that, we were
100%.
Absolutely doomed. Now it's looking, we're ending the season like we started it, you know, just fear of relegation and not knowing where any points are going to come from. Right, there was a good point in the middle of it, but yeah, I mean, you know,
the problem with Ollie, and he should, there's a documentary hour and a half thing about him this week as well. He's a QPR man, and I love him for what he did as a QPR, as a player next to Ray Wilkins in that team in the 90s, as a manager first time and potentially second time as well. He wrote his own sentence last year, his behaviour at Millwall Way, his behaviour at the Brentford home game. If he didn't do that, the hierarchy would not have got itchy with him and would have stuck with him and Birch for another season. So he actually was the architect of his own downfall. And it's a shame because Ollie is the perfect man for us in this situation.
Yeah, yeah. And he was, but the things that he said, still, they were out of passion. Sorry, Johnny, yeah, go on. They were out of passion. And what he said, you know, at least it shows that he's putting some fight in. And the club means that much to him. And again, as I've said many times, if we do go down and, it's looking quite likely next year, I'd rather go down with someone like that at the helm.
Well, with that in mind, I spoke to a former professional footballer who shall remain nameless earlier, and he said that he couldn't come and have a chat with us because he'd had an interview at QPR today and it would be improper for him to comment on the situation at the club with that in mind. As such...
Rufus Brevitt.
I'm not saying, I'm not saying who it was. As such, we know, because I've spoken to one of the people they're interviewing, that the club are looking at former professional footballers. They're still recruiting. They're clearly not just looking at Appleton and Sherwood.
Does they've that interviewed give you... everybody.
That's pretty broad, isn't it? Yeah.
Does it give it? Sorry. Does it give
manager
us,
champions?
Does it give us hope that they've got a strategy or they're casting their net wide?
That at least they are looking at players they're... who might have some kind of link with the club.
At least they've been professional. Oh, they've been professionals at QPR. They've just been professional footballers.
They have been. I have reason to believe there are players who've played for QPR being interviewed.
Okay.
Let's read between the lines there, people. Derry, Bertram. Listen, I think this is the problem at QPR, in a sense, is that you have to be a QPR to make the QPR job, a QPR man to make the QPR job work. We've tried it. We've tried the up-and-coming manager. We've tried it all. Mm. We haven't tried a foreign manager since, like, Di Canio or Paulo Sousa, who's doing good things now. QPR will ruin you if you are not ready. Well, I think it will just ruin you anyway at the moment. I can't see anybody coming into this club, our club, and doing something substantial and sustainable. You know, a couple of wins here. Look at McLaren. We were flying high after Forest away in the FA Cup stuff. Now he's just...
Have
knows.
You got a quiz for us this week, Johnny? Or is this our quiz now?
This is your quiz.
Who are you?
All right, so you have to give us some clues in.
No, I'm not revealing my
Cook.
Sources.
I'll just go through
I
every player.
I see Cookie the other day. Yeah, after Watford.
But in terms of you saying it needs to be a QPR man, I'm not going to tell you what I may or may
Rodney
not
Marsh.
Know. But... Do you think this is kind of a similar situation to the one that was going on at United when they brought in Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, in the sense that it might not be a case of bringing in someone with massive managerial pedigree, and you're better off bringing in someone who knows the club, who knows the fans, who's just going to improve the feeling, not just on the pitch, but around the whole club?
Gav loves Man United, so I was going to let you speak, but yeah. I was going to say we're not Man United. We've got, you know, Scowen is not Pogba.
No, of course, but in terms of...
They were massively underachieving, feeling, Manu. I don't think we are massively
underachieving. No, we were overachieving potentially. Before. 14th would have been like win the league for us this year. I think you're right, though, in terms of the feeling around the club, an instant kind of shot in the arm, a lift, and it would be an ex-QPR person to do that. It would be a Bertram. It would be a Sean Derry.
It would be an Ainsworth, Clint Hill. With six games to go.
But Ainsworth, I think, is in a tricky position with Wickham. I think it's somebody that's not in a job that would be QPR shot in the arm that's going to go, look, Swansea, we need a result. Whatever it takes, we'll get a result
also,
today.
I don't want to see Ainsworth come in and get fired halfway through next season or 10 games
and
into next season.
And then, as you say, tarnish that legacy.
If they do bring him in and then give him the opportunity to take us down and then bring us back up as a long-term game, you know, long-term play.
But we need, but whatever the appointment is, you know, let's not get it wrong now. You know, we're talking about names and managers who could do that six-game spurt, who could do next season to keep us up, because that's the aspiration next year. It is actually an off-the-field situation that we need to get right. There's too many chiefs, there's too many egos for QPR to be a success at this moment in time. Until they get that right, it doesn't matter. Yes, it matters to stay up this year. Potentially it doesn't, but the stadium, the training ground, those sort of things, they're a part of it. But the things on the pitch right now need to get sorted out off the pitch.
And the first step towards doing that, of course, would be getting 3 points against Millwall tomorrow night. And coming up, we'll be hearing from Tony Thomas, who's a YouTuber at Millwall Drive Home, to find out what our chances are.
This is Love Sport.
That's right, it's that point in the show where we turn our attentions to QPR's next opponent and we hear right from the horse's mouth. In this instance, the horse is called Tony. Tony Thomas, YouTuber at Millwall Drive Home. Evening, Tony. Thanks ever so much for joining us. After that QPR performance at the weekend, are you confident of 3 points tomorrow?
Well, this season I'm never confident of 3 points, but as you said, welcome the horse into the horse's mouth. Walk on the Mill did finish fourth in the National, so and with a big Cat Tiger Roll win it, so maybe horses are quite lucky for us this year. It's been a difficult season at the Den, and we with all due respect, we've tended to make bad teams look good. So this, you know, we raise our game for the big sides, and obviously you're struggling at the moment. So if you come to the Den and play anything like you did against Norwich, then you'll get beat. There's no doubt about it. I watched the first half before I left for the game on Saturday, and although Norwich are an excellent side, they play very quick attacking football. You know, after you conceded that first goal, your defence was tragic, and you were pulled apart so easily. And it was just the lack of confidence from the players. And I thought that with losing Steve McLaren, who, you know, is in my opinion is an inept manager, and I know he's got troubles, but losing him, I thought the players would raise their game. But you could see that there's a lack of confidence around the team, and once that happens, it's hard to change. And with no new manager in place and only a caretaker manager, you know, what are the players playing for? And if that happens at the Den, if you don't come there ready for a fight, ready for a battle, then you're going to struggle. Oh, great finish by Son.
You we're talking about managers tonight, and you've got your own Neil Harris, who replaced Ian Holloway, who I know wasn't a popular character down in South London. Sorry about that, but
legend.
Neil Harris is obviously a Millwall legend, but is a little bit divides the fan base, from my opinion, a little bit in terms of the football he's playing, in terms of it being slightly regressive. Do you think the fact that he is a club legend and the kind of the FA Cup runs and what he's done has bought him more time, and do you expect him to be changed anytime soon?
I do think that being a club legend has given him more time. There's no doubt about it. You know, we've had woeful managers before him, with Steve Lomas, who obviously had West Ham connections, and Ian Holloway, who was a clown. There's no doubt about it. You know, he absolutely wrecked our club, and has done pretty similar with you in the recent time. You know, before that, obviously he was quite well thought of at QPR, but he's been given more time because of the fact that he had such a good distinguished playing career. But he seems to do it when he needs to do it. You know, if you look at his record overall at the Den, it's what he's one of the most winningest, if that is a word, managers in our history. So although the football at times, you know, certainly before the last month, what we've seen, it is quite direct, it's quite up and at football. In the last month, he's kind of changed that. We've played a little bit more possession football, and we, you know, although we haven't got results until Saturday, we've looked better. You know, we looked good at Leeds, and we were unlucky to lose there. We were obviously very unlucky in the quarter final of the FA Cup, and then, you know, we beat West Brom, who although they've struggled again this evening at Bristol City. You know, we've looked good, and I heard what you say about getting a QPR man in as manager, but you know, I think it's more to do with how your club is being run at the moment. I don't think it matters who's running you. It's quite a difficult place to manage. So yeah, although I do think that sticking with a QPR man such as Bertram, I think that would be a great appointment, to be honest.
Yeah, Tony. I mean, we hear what you said about Holloway. To be honest, like from this side of the fence, it's a bit different for us because obviously we have great memories of him.
Fond memories
as a player, but also he came in when we were, you've got to remember when he came in, how bad we were before that, and how he installed a lot of passion, if nothing else, at least because he's a QPR man. But I mean, more getting back to like your recent performances. Obviously, you beat West Brom 2-0. You got 2-2 with Brighton. You beat Birmingham 2-0 away. Well, and you're saying it's not been a great season for you, but I mean, where do you put your finger on the inconsistencies?
The inconsistencies, we've made too many defensive errors and we haven't scored enough goals. And that sounds very simple, but if you don't take chances in games, and we don't create enough chances either, you know, we struggled in the midfield in terms of, because we don't keep possession enough, or we haven't kept possession enough. We've done it a little bit better in the last month or so. We give teams the possession of the football, and then we've conceded 25% of our goals from the 80th minute or later. And that's no coincidence that teams always feel in games. You know, West Brom on Saturday were dire. There's no other way of putting it. They were down to 10 men. We were 2-0 up. And yet, as a Millwall fan, I'm sitting there thinking, you know, if they score in the 83rd minute, even though they've done absolutely nothing, they could come right back into it, and that's no good for the players. That's no good for the fans, and you know, they're then such a passionate stadium that if it's all going positive, you know, it's very effective and everyone's going together. But if it's negative, you know, the players feed off of that negative energy and they start getting apprehensive. So I think even it may well be the case that you could be one or two down at the Den going into the last 10 minutes. And I'd still be worried that we're going to be able to take that home and finish off a game. You know, if we'd finished off games, we'd be nowhere near where we are. We'd be comfortably 13th or 14th in the table, which is where, you know, a squad that the way that we play and the quality that we've got, it would be an achievement. And I think that's pretty much where we should be, but that hasn't transpired because we haven't finished off games.
It's not, the Den hasn't been a happy hunting ground, or the new Den, to call it is the correct name, hasn't been a happy hunting ground for QPR in a long while. I was just trying to kind of Google.
Well, the new Den, you've never won it.
Well,
the last time you won at the Den was in 1990, and that was the old Den. So you've never won at the new Den. So that would be something like a turn up for the books. But then likewise, we very much struggle at Loftus Road. We're very much we struggle there, and you struggle at us. And I've got to be honest, I very much hope that continues tomorrow, because it's probably our biggest game since we got promoted in the playoff final over a year ago, you know, but by a long, it was a big game against Fulham that may have taken us into the playoffs last season, which would have been amazing. But this is absolutely huge. And I think that the fact that our players are all fighting for the shirt at the moment, that could just tip us over the edge, because you've got a lot of quality in your side, even if they're not playing that well. You know, the players like Wells and Easy, they're players that have got a lot of quality. So, that, you know, you've always got the potential to break down teams. It's just at the back at the moment, you look fragile, and hopefully we can make the most of that.
But exactly. And I think the every time I've been down to the new Den, the atmosphere has been absolutely electric. It's been a right cauldron for QPR to come into. And the fact that you knew that we've never won there, which is obviously quite an obvious fact in some respects, but what is the relationship between Millwall and QPR? Do you see us as just another London rival, or is there an added intensity to there, regardless of tomorrow night being a six-pointer in some respects?
No, I've got to be completely honest with you, I don't see you as you are just another London club. Obviously, no one particularly likes us, so everyone seems to want to beat Millwall. But QPR, you know, I've got respect for as a club and a team. But when you had Ian Holloway in charge, it completely changed. I wanted to. I the last time you came to the Den and where we beat you 1-0, I really wanted to beat your side, because you had Ian Holloway in charge, and I'm going to make no bones about that. And it became, in my mind, every time we played you when he was in charge of you, the Ian Holloway derby, if that makes any sense. Whereas tomorrow's game is purely about getting 3 points. So, like, you're wearing whatever kit you're wearing, it really doesn't matter to me. We need to win it, and I think our players will come out with that mindset. And when that happens, we're a very difficult team to beat.
Tony, with that in mind, I'm afraid I'm going to have to put you on the spot. It's going to be a tough game for QPR. The Den is a horrible place to go as an away side, but what do you think the score's going to be?
I'm absolutely useless at predicting score lines, but I have to be confident. You know, I'm a coach of an under-8s football team, and my under-8s football team are all coming from Essex to be the guard of honour. So hopefully we beat Ipswich 3-0 the last time they were guard of honour. So I'm going to go for slightly less. I'm going to go for a 2-0 Millwall win. I've got to be confident with what I saw from you against Norwich. And the problem is, the more confident I feel as a Millwall fan, the less confident I feel. It's ridiculous. But, you know, if we play to the way we have been playing in recent games, and it goes to form in terms of performance, then we should have enough.
Yeah, I think your under-8s could beat us 2-0, I think. On
No, but then they wouldn't have a guard of honour, so they'd be in trouble.
No, to be fair, Millwall could give our under-8s a guard of honour. We do play some decent football, you know. We play the football on the ground, you know, some decent passing. So we'll give anyone a decent game.
But right. Good luck then, mate.
You'd have enough.
He's the Millwall Guardiola, Tony Thomas there, YouTuber at Millwall Drive Home. Thanks for your time, Tony. Lovely to speak to you. He's confident. Should QPR be confident? Coming up, we'll find out whether they should. And also, it's the road to nowhere.
This is Love Sport.
Where? You're listening to the QPR Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow, and Gav Lawson, and Gaz Dixon of Ranger Things. It's the road to Gnowhere, where we're going to be wandering around the merry wilds of QPR. And we're also going to have, in just a moment, a certain Mr. Julian Monaghan on the line, a regular on the show, and a man who I believe likes a rant. I've been promised fireworks, Julian, so I hope you're ready.
Is he there?
A rant? Fireworks?
Yeah. Oh, here he is.
Provide those.
Is that Michael Gove?
How are you?
Very well, thank you.
I'm not talking about Michael Gove, definitely not.
What are you talking about? Where we are in the Nowhere?
Why are you not here?
Why am I not there? I'm cooking steak tonight. Oh. You know, I've got much
that
better
That takes
to
5 minutes.
You,
get your pan hot, Julian, and then skip into the studio.
Me and Julian are going to Millwall tomorrow.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, at my house.
Yeah. Didn't fancy the away trip to the Den.
Not really.
Well, staying in a cage for half an hour after the end of the game is always a pretty hideous experience.
You're referring
down
to
there.
My house, yeah.
That's where Gab keeps his dog. His dog's got form. Yeah, Julian.
Is that dog going to be there?
Yes, yeah. Yes, it will.
Let's stop talking about dogs. Let's start talking about
the Isle of Dogs.
The manager or the off-field situation. Have you got any inkling or thoughts about who should be the next man in charge? Does it matter?
Well, yeah. I mean, I've got more views of who I don't want, sadly.
Yeah.
And a list of people that are on there that you see banded around in the papers on social media have not impressed me. Which, you know, I've seen people mention some left field people as well. Obviously, this guy from Troy, the Portuguese guy, has come up recently, which seems to be exciting some people. But I suppose that's really based on the fact that we don't know him. And so if we don't know him, is there a chance that he might be successful?
He was named in the article I read about being a former Red Star Belgrade manager. And I texted my mate, who's a Red Star fan, and he goes, I've never heard of him. So,
yeah, good.
So I think
he might have been on later. Was he a bit of a Mourinho?
I think he might have been. Yeah, he definitely wasn't their manager, though.
Do you reckon Mourinho would do a job, Dana? Yeah.
Oh, we cannot have Mourinho. Mourinho and Basingua coming in as his assistant—that'd be great.
Oh, can you imagine
John Terry and the fitness?
No, so I don't know. I mean, the good thing about the Troy guy is that he's obviously done a great job on a shoestring, by all accounts, and he's got them on the verge of the playoffs. In Division 2 in France. But the thing is, if he gets them up, why on earth would he abandon that position to come and take on, you know, favourites for relegation next season?
It's
a big sell. I mean, and the only reason you'd come is if he thinks it's better money, which we know we don't have any money, or if it's a sort of sadistic, masochistic sort of view of furthering your career by taking on a complete disaster
right place
situation.
For that, wouldn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
We say about the money thing, right? But it's coming out at the moment that apparently it was on Twitter, so it's barely believable. But Naki Wells is on 45 grand a week apparently at Burnley.
Yeah.
So 35 at Rangers. Hemed on 38 at Brighton apparently, and he's on that. He'll be on a percentage of that at Rangers. So the thing that we haven't got any money, we actually have spent money this year and done appallingly. So what next season? Do we clear the decks and is there money to invest in some low league talent, or are we just literally scratching around for more free transfers and mercenaries?
Well, I think we've got no choice. I think that's my take on it, is that's why eventually McLaren went. He obviously, after the four games, said, guys, if you don't give me some money to get these loan signings in, we're going down. They banked on that, and unfortunately, he's found himself in a position where he's in a dogfight. So they've just gone, we can't have it because we've taken that risk with you. We've bought these expensive loan signings in, and we're no better off. So next season, I don't think we've got that dice to roll. It's we've got to do the youth team and potentially free transfers or very, very cheap signings from lower divisions. And so that's where the scouts have got to be doing their job. I mean, I hope Penrice is out there working double time, trying to find a striker in particular. Because you watched Pukki at the weekend, and I didn't think he was that amazing against us, but he was a free transfer. So, you know, there's got to be players out there. If our scouts are doing their job,
of course there are.
There's got to be someone like that. Well, maybe that's going a bit far, but there's got to be somebody of a decent pedigree who is a cheap option. Because if we have Matt Smith up on his own, and maybe Otte coming back, I worry that, you know, we're on a hiding for nothing next season.
Yeah. Julian, talking of pedigree, we've of course had Champions League action tonight. Liverpool looking pretty comfortable, 2-0 up against Porto with a minute or so to play. But Spurs, Heung-min Son giving them the lead in the 79th minute. It's 1-0 to them against Manchester City, Aguero missing a penalty. How big a result is that?
Well, you're talking to someone, you know, we're obviously in the Champions League every season, so I can give you a good
championship.
You know, I mean, yeah. I saw that Aguero missed the penalty. I think that, you know, I saw 0-0, that's definitely Man City's tie. But 1-0 makes it interesting because Spurs go up there, get the away goal. And Man City could, you know, they've been a bit cagey recently. They've gone 1-0 up and then sort of tried to contain the game. They can't do that now in the away leg or home leg. So it would be interesting. It makes it a much more exciting tie than if they'd have drawn 0-0. You know, they're going for this quadruple. Be interesting. I'd personally like to see Spurs beat them just because I don't want them winning everything. I prefer them to win the league than Liverpool. I quite enjoy, as a kid growing up with Liverpool fans in London everywhere, I quite like the fact they've had 29 years of not winning the title. Keep that going.
You're confusing Gav now. You know, at the end of the day, he's QPR and you're talking about stuff
doesn't know what it is.
So I'm going to bring it back to QPR. A very yes or no question, a bit like a referendum. Are QPR going to go down?
No, I think we're going to survive. We're going to get at least one more win from those.
Where's that coming from?
I'm looking at the Blackburn and the Swansea and even Forest. Forest are getting thumped tonight again. They look like they've gone on the beach already because they're not going to make the playoffs.
Beach in Nottingham?
So
the beach in Nottingham? There's no beach in Nottingham.
Well, beach somewhere. They've gone somewhere. Maybe just on the side of the Trent. But one of those games we're going to win. Possibly we need 4 points. Rotherham have got a horrible run. But obviously they won one at the weekend, which put a bit of nervousness on our players, hopefully. I think we've got one more performance in it, so I don't think we will, but it's definitely a risk. But I would say no, not this season. Next season, I think definitely, unless something radical happens during the summer that surprises me.
So you are going to renew your season ticket, even if Sherwood's not coming, right?
If he comes, I am seriously having a year with my family away from the ground.
Wow.
You've practically done that this year.
That's big. That's deep.
Yeah, I just think that it's just a disaster if he comes. I've seen him banding around his 50% win record. You know, that was when he took over a Champions League team in Spurs. He was disastrous at Villa, disastrous win. No, not for me.
Is it pure jealousy though? Because you like a gilet yourself, so is it like a battle of the gilets going
on?
Who
wore it better?
I've got a pair of gilets around. Yeah, a couple of them. I might put one on tonight as a sort of hoodoo to put him off.
Just a gilet.
Yeah.
Steak and a gilet. That's rather terrifying mental image.
Well, what are you? What's your prediction for this one coming up then, mate?
Millwall, we're going to lose 2-0.
2-0.
Can't see anything.
We used to predict draws or wins at least, but now we're just predicting just a case of who gets closer without going over, isn't it?
Well, they've been in a dogfight all season, so their team is, and you know, like often the case for these teams, towards the end of the season they start picking up points where you might not expect it. Actually, tomorrow they probably expect it, but they've been in a dogfight all season, so they've got the fight. We haven't. Our players have just kind of given up. Lost the manager. I didn't see Eustace as being particularly inspirational. At least voice in what I saw in his interviews. I've never seen him speak before.
Turgid,
but didn't inspire me for either the pre or the post match interview. So who's going to get them going tomorrow unless they do it themselves?
Well, you watched the game against Norwich, didn't you?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And so
we were terrible.
We were absolutely terrible. So what were your thoughts on switching it around a little bit in the next couple of games? Okay, so bring on Manning for a start.
How's Bright not starting the match? I don't know. Don't know why he didn't start Leisner, but then he came on and gave an absolute howler of a third goal away.
That's Freeman's fault.
You could blame Freeman too. Why was he passing it to him there? He should have booted it up the field. Should have just got rid of it. So yeah, it was more Freeman's fault. But I still don't think Leisner should have passed it. But I would start him over Lynch. I think Lynch, you know, to be honest, his career at QPR is done now, I'm afraid. He's made too many errors. He's looked too hot for too long. So I wouldn't start with him. But yeah, I'd try it. You know, Manning, we brought him back. So get him in the side, give him a go instead of Cousins. We've got to try something. These guys need to kick up the backside to buy them for the last six games. Yeah, exactly.
Well, Julian, it's been lovely speaking. I think we lost it, though. It's been lovely speaking to you, definitely. A stalwart of the show. Gents, it's that time where I have to press you for your score predictions. It's Millwall away tomorrow. What are you saying?
Me first. I will go Millwall nil, QPR nil.
Okay, there's a point there. Slight optimism.
Going 1-1.
1-1. So we're not predicting a defeat, and we're predicting a chance for QPR. Yeah. Here's hoping. And maybe a new manager.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.